sought the Lord Jesus. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many. And he made intercession for the transgressors. I even go back to the cross and see the Lord Jesus in intercessory work of your life. We could go to the epistle to the Hebrews and see the lovely truth he ever liveth to make intercession for you. But Christians, as you think of the one of Psalm of Isaiah 53, God's beloved servant, the perfect servant, why just think a servant in his life upon earth, a Savior in his work upon the cross, and a sovereign in a coming day when he'll come in glory. May the Lord bless his word.
Good to be here tonight. Isaiah in chapter 53. It's a lovely chapter and well set out for us tonight. But what I'm going to do, if it's convenient, is to take a look at the book of Galatians and to say, take a look at the cross as it's brought before us in the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, then, please, in chapter 1. What I want to do for a moment or two now is just to take a look at the effects of Calvary as it touches your life and mine. The book of Galatians, chapter 1, and reading verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 20. Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Chapter 3, 13. Hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Chapter 4 and verse 4. And the time was come. God sent forth his Son, made or come of a woman, come under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the son placing. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Chapter 5, and verse 11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would that they were even cut off, which trouble you. And finally, into chapter 6, and reading at verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves, who are circumcised, keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. May the Lord grant his blessing to the reading of his precious word. It's lovely, child of God, to be taken up with the person and work of our Lord Jesus, and I suppose lovely constantly to be taken back to the cross where the blessed man of Calvary suffered. Tonight I want us to take a look at the cross as it's seen in the book of Galatians. There are various books, of course, in our Bible or in our New Testament that bring before us very definite themes. You know full well that the book of Thessalonians is all about the coming, and in every chapter you'll find the truth of the coming of the Lord Jesus brought before you in the book of Thessalonians. If you were to go to the book of Peter, you'd find that the great theme there is that of suffering. And in every chapter, you'll find that Peter brings before us the fact that we need to suffer. You remember that Peter's the man that would have denied the Lord Jesus his sufferings. He's the man that said, "Be it far from thee, Lord." But Peter's learned that if you and I are going to be brought into glory, it's got to be through the suffering. So Peter, in his epistle, he dwells upon the sufferings. And if you were to go to the book of Ephesians, of course, you would see that the church which is his body, is in every chapter. These things are very dominant in the book of Ephesians. When you go to the book of Galatians, child of God, it's not the coming, it's not the sufferings, it's not the church. In the book of Galatians, it's the cross. And the cross is set before us. The reason, of course, is very simple. Judaizers, purporting to have been sent from James, have moved in to that new work in Galatia, and they have started to affect and upset the work of God in the saints in that province. They have told them that the cross of Christ is not enough. I suppose, like much of Christendom today, they would tell us that the cross of Christ is vital, but they would tell us the cross of Christ is not enough. And these Jewish legalizers, what they were doing, they were introducing the law. And they were introducing Jewish tradition and custom, telling the believers that unless they were circumcised, unless they kept the feast days, and unless they observed times and seasons, they couldn't be saved. The Apostle Paul, he takes it up in the book of Galatians. In fact, he tells us in chapter 2 that he's not going to brook anything from these men, no, not for an hour. And you can teach what you will, but he is going to repudiate what they teach, and he won't have it, no, not, he won't give space to them, no, not for an hour. Because, child of God, he sees it as a very definite attack upon the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross is everything to you, and the cross is everything to me. Without that cross, we couldn't be blessed, and we need nothing beside the cross. So right the way through the book of Galatians, we discover that the Apostle Paul, he deals with the cross. He doesn't deal with the blood so much. You'd find that the blood is dealt with in the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, child of God, it's the ceremonial thing that's in view. And when it came to the ceremonies, it was the sprinkling of blood. But here, in the book of Galatians, it's rather the curse that's in view. And it needed the cross to deal with the curse. So the book of Galatians is bringing before us the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as you've read with me, the cross is brought before us in every chapter. I want very simply just to take a look at them. In chapter 1, we're going to see that the cross, it was brought in with a quest, with the desire to remove. We'll see it was going to remove two things. Number one, in verse 4, it's going to remove sin from me. And number two, it's going to remove me from the world. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Says verse 4, speaking of our Lord Jesus, who gave himself for our sins. And child of God, the first thing that the cross is going to do, he's going to deal with the sin question. And right at the very outset, these Judaizers coming along. And these Judaizers that would always be teaching that if sin is going to be dealt with, it can only be dealt with in the energy of the flesh of humanity, as they will keep circumcision, as they will keep the feast days, as they will observe Jewish traditions. Ah, no, says the apostle. The sin question is dealt with in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And right at the very outset, he stamps on the pages of the book of Galatians, writes to these folks in Galatia, that when it comes to the sin question, child of God, it can only be the work of the Lord Jesus that deals with the sin question. Who gave himself for our sins? Then notice that he might deliver us from this present evil world. So that when we come to look at the cross, it's not only to remove sin from me, but it's also to remove me from the world. And the idea here, to deliver me from this present evil world. What is it? Child of God, it's the age of the rejection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's called this present evil world. It's a world that stands guilty of the rejection of God's beloved Son. The cross, dark, it shows the enmity of a hostile people. And against the background of that rejection, we have moved into this present evil world. Does God want you linked with it? Does God want me linked with it? A world that rejects the Son of God, and because of it termed the present evil world. Says the book of Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, the Christ of God, he didn't only give himself to deal with the sin question, but child of God, not only to take sin out of me, but to deliver me out of the world. And that word deliver there is literally a word that means to rescue or to pluck out. And here, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he went to yonder tree, well, not only to take sin out of me, but to take me out of the world, to rescue me from it, to pluck me out from it. And here we have the age of the rejection of our Lord Jesus. But now, come into chapter 2 for a moment. For chapter 2 is not the cross to remove sin from me and me from the world. For I must admit, the day that I got saved, and months before I got saved, one of the things that kept me from getting saved was the fact that I knew that the moment I trusted Jesus Christ, this world had got to be done and finished with forever. I knew what the cross meant. And I knew what being linked to the cross meant. I don't know whether the brethren preached a good gospel in those days. But when they preached the fact that there was separation with the gospel. And it wasn't just a come to Jesus gospel, was it? It was a gospel that finished you as far as this world was concerned. And for many a week I struggled with the business of God's salvation. I wanted the world. Keep many a soul from the glory. Sadly, for the devil ever sets the world before the eyes and minds of men, with all its tinsel and all its glitter. You come to Christ and you'll lose the world, and you'll lose the world. You can't go on with the world. You've lost everything. I'm glad I learned I didn't lose too much. I thought it was losing everything, of course. I tell you, child of God, I gained more that day than ever I could have got had I been linked with the world. I believe that's where we are when we come to chapter 2 and verse 20. For if in chapter 1 he delivers me from the world, child of God, I know that in chapter 2 it is that he might reside within me. And he's going to fill that void. Know him that has brought pleasure to the Father's heart. Now to take up his residence in the heart of the child of God, and that Christ becomes everything to the believer. If in chapter 1 you have the negative, in chapter 2 you have the positive. He is not taking you from the world and leaving a void there, child of God. Chapter 2 says the apostle, I am crucified with Christ. The crucifixion comes in again. Here, he's looking at that judicial act. As far as God is concerned, when Christ died, you died. But then look what he says. Nevertheless,
I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Child of God, here the Apostle Paul, he's taking a look at what happened when the Lord Jesus died judicially as far as God is concerned. I died too. But when that blessed man rose, he gave life to me, but it's not the life that once I knew as far as this world was concerned. It's now the very life of Christ himself. And the cross of our Lord Jesus, child of God, has dealt with my sin, has severed me from the world, has dealt with me and finished with me forever, but it's given me a life that is full of Christ. And therefore the apostle says, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And what he's thinking here is, objectively, Christ is everything to the soul. He loved me. He gave himself for me. Child of God, not only to deal with the sin question, not only to take me out of the world, but that he might become everything to this soul of mine. What can the world offer you? What has it got, child of God, compared with Christ? Oh, that we might be full of Christ. That we might enjoy the great truth of chapter 2 and verse 20. Good to know that we've been that our sins have been dealt with. Good to know that we've been delivered from the world. But oh, child of God, in its place, nothing less than the fullness of our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, that he might become everything to me. Come to chapter 3 for a moment. Because if in chapter 1 the idea of the cross is to remove, and in chapter 2, it's to reside. When I come to chapter 3, it is with a view to redeem. Look again, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Child of God, there was a curse with the law. And the Bible says, cursed is every man that continueth not in the law to obey it. And if a man is going to have the law as his standard, then he must keep that law in every jot and every tittle. And if he doesn't keep it, then he comes under the curse of the law. We were under a curse. Man is under a curse. Here, says the apostle, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Why did he die the way that he did? Why did it have to be by the tree, child of God? It had to be by the tree, because a curse had to be born. And if you were going to be delivered from that curse, for the idea behind the word redeemed is not only to buy back, but to be delivered from its power. For in the thought of redeeming, it is to pay the price to redeem one from the slave market. One thought is to pay the price for it. The other thought, child of God, to deliver us from that slave market. But here the Lord Jesus, he was made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. We've got Deuteronomy in question, haven't we? Deuteronomy chapter 21. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, we have brought before us a disobedient son. That disobedient boy, he wouldn't hearken to the voice of his father, he wouldn't hearken to the voice of his mother. And there comes the point where even the parental love can stand it no longer. This boy is not fit for society. He's not only rebelling against his parents, he's rebelling against every claim of God. And our nation
He's going to be brought into sin as a result of this boy. And we can do nothing more. But because of his failure and folly. But bring that boy to the wilderness. And say, this our son will not obey our voice. That boy has got to be taken out. And that boy has got to be stoned. And after he's stoned, they're going to take him and they're going to hang him on a tree. A witness to the rest in Israel. Now this is what happens to disobedient sons. Israel became a disobedient nation. They became disobedient sons as far as God was concerned. Here are Judaizers. And they're trying to link us with a rebellious, disobedient family. They're trying to bring us under the curse of disobedient sons. For when you come under Judaism, child of God, you just live with a disobedient family, you'll live with rebellious sons. And what it's going to bring is the curse of God upon them, because cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree, and that boy, stoned at the hand of his parents and the elders, and now hung upon a tree, the curse is upon him. And here they're trying to bring us and link us with a rebellious nation. Ah, says the apostle. Do you not realize why the Christ of God died? I think this truth must have dawned on him on the Damascus Road. One of the reasons, child of God, why this man, the Apostle Paul, wouldn't bow to the claims of the gospel, he knew his Bible well. This is the Son of God. He would never have hung upon a tree. It's only rebellious sons that hung upon a tree. The Son of God would be no rebellious son. But on that Damascus road, the light dawned upon his soul. He was made a curse, super, over against us. What was happening at Calvary. And he wasn't a rebellious son himself. He was standing in the place of rebellious sons. Whether Paul understood the perfect son, the lovely son, the perfect one, the man of Luke's gospel, who Word of God in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible tells us he was removed from them a stone's cast. In Matthew is a king, he goes a little further, doesn't he? In Old Testament times, kings were always leading the warriors into battle. And he's going out with the foe. Greater than David is here to meet the Goliath. He's going to strip him of all his power. And in Matthew's gospel, he goes a little farther. But in this gospel, child of God, he's not the mighty king going leading the army, the foe. In Luke's gospel, he's the perfect man.
And John
of God, in Luke's gospel, he moved a stone's cast. A stone's cast. He's putting himself in the place of disobedience. That's what he's doing.